Hello and welcome to the latest Talking Rugby Union podcast with me, Chris Heal. Joining me on this edition are former Leicester Tigers and England international Leon Lloyd, former South Africa international Venus Delport, and current Wasp forward Guy Thompson, as we discuss the upcoming Autumn Internationals as well as National League Rugby as we reach the third waypoint of the season. And we'll start with the Autumn Internationals, and they really did begin in style last weekend as Ireland created history in Chicago by beating New Zealand for the first time ever and inflicting the world champions' first defeat in 19 matches, while Wales were hammered in Cardiff by Australia. So contrasting fortunes for a couple of the Northern Hemisphere sides last weekend, but attention now turns to Eddie Jones and England this Saturday as they prepare to take on South Africa at Twickenham. A lot of talk's been made about Eddie Jones's selections for the Autumn Internationals due to the headache he had around so many injuries in the squad, with the likes of James Haskell, Maro Itoje, Jack Clifford, etc. all missing. But the strength and depth in English rugby is on show in these test matches. A lot of people are arguing that's the point, due to the quality that has been available in the national pool and the selections Eddie Jones has made. On Tuesday night, he whittled his squad down to 25 players, and it looks as though Tom Wood is about to make his first appearance for England in over a year in the back row, as he is one of the men who has been retained by Eddie Jones. Johnny May looks set to play for Eddie Jones for the first time on the wing following his long layoff with injury, while Marlon Yard has been chosen potentially to go on to the other wing. But all the details of Eddie Jones's first 15 for that South Africa game are going to be announced on Thursday evening. Other possible selections could see Courtney Lodge and Joe Lodge be partnered together in the second row after Courtney Lodge was passed fit to play. While there are some uncapped players still retained in that 25-man squad by Eddie Jones, Nathan Hughes, Josh Beaumont, Ben Teo and Kyle Sinclair all in the squad. So some good experience as well as some good uncapped players. I mentioned the strength and depth we were talking about with England. So onto the game itself, England will be looking to beat South Africa for the first time in 12 fixtures, and that spans a decade before they take on Fiji, Argentina and Australia in consecutive weekends. And former England international Leon Lloyd believes England are playing superbly under Eddie Jones, but would have preferred to play the Wallabies rather than the Springboks first.
The boys are flying, aren't they, with the momentum they created from the summer tours. However, I know it was a long time ago, and they've had some injuries recently with, you know, training ground incidents, which are always going to happen in a contact sport. You know, train hard, play easy. I think the momentum carried in will be great. It's going to be a tough challenge. I'd like to have played Australia first to get it out of the way.
Because I think won the series,
I do, yeah, because I think with Australia being over here, they're going to play some games, so by the time they get to us, they're going to have found their feet a bit more, and I think catch them off the hoop a little bit and get them first. But that's going to be, I think that'll be the toughest test, depending on how they go beforehand. But God, how hard is it to play against South Africa as your first one up, not forgetting the two middle games as well.
So that was Leon Lloyd speaking to TRU at Rugby Expo last week at Wasps' Ricoh Arena. Leon was there as part of a programme called Switch to Play, which is designed to help athletes fulfil their potential through and beyond sport. Type Switch to Play into any search engine or find them on Twitter to find out details about this brilliant programme Leon is involved in. So on to England's opposition on Saturday and South Africa. The Springboks arrive at Twickenham following an entertaining draw with the Barbarians last weekend at Wembley. But attention turns to the serious stuff now for South Africa as they prepare to take on England before tests against Italy and Wales. One of the main selection talking points this week in the Springboks camp was that Brian Abana has been cleared to play after coming through a training session on Tuesday, and if he is fit, a backline of Willie LaRue and JP Peterson could be vital for South Africa, considering they have a lot of first team players missing for these Autumn Internationals. Now, South Africa haven't lost to England since 2006, winning 11 of the last 12 meetings, but England may fancy their chances against the box this time round, as South Africa have only won one of their last six test matches. So England may fancy their chances of getting a result at Twickenham this weekend. And former South Africa international Venus Delport feels that after a tough summer against Ireland and a difficult rugby championship for South Africa, supporters of the box are apprehensive going into these Autumn Internationals.
It's been a tough summer in Ireland. It's been a tough rugby championship. I think we all South African supporters are quite nervous about the challenges coming up in the Northern Hemisphere. You've got to keep remembering that we did end up beating Ireland. We did beat Argentina and Australia at home, but it was it was very tough, and there's a lot of pressure on the guys. So they've had a lot to work on, especially on the defence in terms of the way they want to play, and they're definitely going to be put under a lot of pressure next weekend against England at Twickenham with their precious style of rugby they play.
But what's that challenge of England posed to South Africa? Because obviously they're in such great form since Andy Jones has taken over.
A lot of confidence. You look at their recent results. I mean, the win out in Australia was fantastic for the guys. All the talk is about the confidence. It's about the structure that he brought in, and it's the way that they squeeze teams out of it. So this will be a very, very big challenge for South Africa playing against England. But we've got a really good recent record against England over the last 10 years, especially up at Twickenham. The guys will definitely be up for the challenge, but England should be favourites going into this game.
So Venus was also speaking to Te Ayu at Rugby Expo last week, and he was in attendance for Rugby for Heroes, which is a charity which works with the rugby community to raise funds and awareness for military personnel who are making the transition to civilian life. And Venus is an ambassador for the charity, so check it out, their website at rugbyforheroes.org.uk to find ways in which you can help raise money for a fantastic cause. And he was there last week, and it was a really good event at the Ricoh Arena. Other fixtures this weekend in the international calendar: Scotland take on Australia, while Wales will be looking for a response when they play Argentina. And a week on from there, Heroics in America, Ireland face Canada. Elsewhere this weekend, Italy play New Zealand, and France welcome Samoa. Though some decent games this weekend. So from international rugby, go back down to the national leagues, where we begin with National One. And last month we started talking about Hartbury College and their fantastic unbeaten record they currently hold, and they're the one place we have to start again this month, because College are in absolutely fine form. A third of the season has now been completed, and John Barnes' men are sitting pretty at the top, having won all 10 of their league matches so far, and have picked up maximum points in all 10 of those games. A really, really good start for them after just missing out on promotion last year against Richmond. Last weekend's victory for College over Roslyn Park leaves Harbury 8 points clear at the summit, and they are looking unstoppable at present. And one of the very few teams that are hunting College down are Birmingham Moseley, who, despite having won 9 of their 10 games so far, sit those 8 points behind Hartbury College. But that won't stop Kevin Maggs' side believing they have a chance of bouncing straight back to the championship. They've done really well so far, Moseley, but they're just still a little bit out of reach of Hartbury College. The two sides play each other in December, so that'll be an interesting encounter between the top two. But the other end of the table, Macclesfield, are off the bottom of the division as they picked up a second win last weekend when they beat Darlington Monan Park at Priory Park. Giles Haggerty's men were promoted from National 2 North at the end of last season as champions, and have found life tough so far, but a big, big win that for the Cheshire side. And that victory meant Bladen are now back at the foot of National 1 despite impressing in recent weeks. They beat Fylde a couple of weeks ago, and they actually were on course to beat Coventry away from home last Saturday, but a late try from Dan Rundle actually gave Coventry another home victory and broke the hearts of Bladen, if you like, who have performed well in recent weeks and may have turned a corner. A team that needs to turn a corner, though, are the other side in the bottom three, along with Bladen and Macclesfield, and that's Hull Ionians. And they're desperate for a win at the moment, having lost their last three matches. They've dropped into the bottom three, and they'll be hoping November provides more joy for them than October did at Brantington Park. Elsewhere in the division, Blackheath, Plymouth Albion and Coventry are all going through some purple patches of form at the right end of the table as they look to keep pace with the top two. And there's also been an upturn in results for Esher and Fire, especially at home. Both sides were struggling towards the bottom of the table earlier in the season, but their home records and home performances have helped them move away from danger as things stand. And what is clear about National 1 this season is that all, and indeed all the National Leagues, is quality of the players is superb week in, week out. And for some of these players in the National League, this is the only route for them to progress higher in the game, rather than going through the academy route and making their name for themselves that way. So the National League provides a really, really good platform for them to try and move up high A, maybe into the Championship, and maybe even further to the Aviva Premiership. And one current player has done just that, using the National Leagues as a way into higher levels of the game, and that's current Wasp forward Guy Thompson. He was at Gloucester Academy and was a graduate from there, but that didn't work out for him, and he had to turn to National League Rugby to basically get his ambitions of becoming a professional rugby player back on track. And he believes that National League Rugby is a perfect platform for any young player who has ambitions of making it in the game.
I was obviously in the Gloucester Academy, and I didn't take the most of my opportunities that I had there and ended up stepping away from the game and doing a bit of travelling. But sort of, I found my way back to rugby. I had a few opportunities playing sevens, and I got a job in London and managed to play semi-professional for Richmond. Then sort of built my way up through the leagues, then with Richmond, Jersey, and then somehow, quite fortunately, found myself here at Wasp, which has been an absolute dream come true.
And how important was that time at Richmond and Jersey, and those National Leagues for you? How important do you think that is for any player, really?
I think it's massive. I think it's so important. I grew massively as a player, playing week in, week out in lower leagues. You learn a lot about yourself, but you learn a lot about the game as well. Going to these places where, you know, you wouldn't really like to play when it's muddy and it's wet and it's cold and the facilities aren't great, but on the whole, it's a great sport, as we all know, and you learn a hell of a lot playing against what is against the older people that have been playing it for years, and you take what you learn in those lower leagues and bring it to the Premiership.
So many thanks to Guy Thompson for taking the time out to speak to us last week at Rugby Expo, and he's really enjoying time at the Ricoh Arena at the moment. He signed the new contract in the summer, currently 4 years into his time in Coventry, and he's really hoping to be part of a side that reaches the heights once again, not only on the domestic front but also in Europe. And yeah, good luck to him and good luck to Wasps. Now back onto the National League, and in National 2 North, the race for promotion continues to dominate proceedings. Coldy currently sit top of the tree and are unbeaten in 9 games, their last defeat coming on the opening day of the season against Sedgley Park, and they lead the way at the moment, and 2 points behind them and continuing to impress are Sale FC, who clinched their 5th straight home win in round 10 against Scunthorpe. A remarkable story at Haywood Road. Last season they were fighting off relegation. This season they are firmly in the hunt for promotion to National 1, and it's been a fantastic start to the season for the Manchester based club. Below the top 2 are the usual suspects of Leicester Lions, Sedgley Park and Stourbridge, who have all been playing well in recent weeks, are all still in the hunt. But Chester have joined the party over the last month or so, winning 5 of the last 6 games. But those 4 teams I've just mentioned have all been taking points off one another in recent weeks, making the promotion race even tighter to call. So it's going to be interesting developments over the next few weeks leading up to Christmas to see how the table starts to take shape, as we enter the midway point of this season. At the other end of the table, the potential doom and gloom around Harrogate was lifted last weekend with a win over 15th placed Wharfdale. Their home win for Harrogate means they still remain at the foot of National 2 North, but despite this second victory of the season, they now will be hoping that is a catalyst to move themselves out of danger and above Wharfdale, and also above Preston Grasshoppers, who occupy the last relegation place in National 2 North, and who, despite have only won 2 games this season, they do sit 4 points adrift of safety. So it's not unthinkable for Garth Doos' side to dig themselves out of danger as we approach the halfway point of the season. Elsewhere in the division, apart from the likes of Coldy and Chester, who have been on fine form in October, the likes of South Leicester and Hinckley are enjoying their best spells of the season. South, who again, like Sale FC, were involved in a relegation scrap last season, are actually up to 7th, having lost just 1 of the last 5 games. And the newly promoted Hinckley are certainly one of the form sides in the division, having won their last 3 matches, moving them out of the relegation zone. So certainly good October for both of those sides, and they'll be hoping they can translate that form into November. Away from National 2 North and International 2 South, last weekend we saw the top of the table clash take place between Chinner and the Old Althemians, and it was Chinner who prevailed in that one. And Matt Williams' side now have a 6-point gap ahead of the OEs at the top of this division, having won all 10 of their matches so far this season. The OEs suffered their first defeat last weekend and now are looking over their shoulder because Bishop Stortford, who won their last five matches, are now level on points with the old Althemians. So Bishop Stortford well in the hunt for a top two spot once again. Now below Stortford, Redruth and Tottenham had a couple of sticky results in the last couple of weeks. Redruth losing the last two. Taunton coming into last weekend with just one win in their last three games, but did turn it around against Worthing at Hyde Park. But both sides need to re-find some consistency in their results if they are to move themselves back into contention for a top two spot. At the other end of the table, Barnstable and Exmouth remain 16th and 15th respectively in this division. The two newly promoted sides have actually put in decent performances in recent weeks, but haven't done enough to move themselves out of the bottom three as things stand. But there are certainly signs they have the quality to do just that. Barnes have shown in recent weeks they have the quality to do that. They are out of the bottom three, and it's Henley Hawks who are actually in the relegation zone alongside Barnstable and Exmouth as things currently stand. Henley, remember, were in National 1 last season but have only managed three wins from their first 10 matches, and really it's been difficult for the men from Dry Leaves at the moment to adapt to life back in National 2 South. And just to turn your attention to a couple of the form teams in the division in October, the Rendingtons and Clifton were two of the form sides in the division, with the Rams unbeaten in their last five, while Clifton have won four on the bounce. So that's going to be an interesting one to see. Both of those sides who were towards the bottom of the table at the start of the season, whether they can continue that decent run of form both sides are on. So that's the state of play in National 2 South at the moment. So that should do us today for this edition of the Talking Rugby Union podcast. Thanks for listening, and join us next time.